Taking a break today from the book of John, we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I invite you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll begin in verse 12 here in a moment. There's a time every now and again to press pause on the preaching plan and to talk with our church family and to share something specific that God has led us to do. And we're doing that today as we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. One of the things that I say when I'm sharing the good news with someone and they pray to receive Christ, I will always say, not always, but most of the time I will say, when someone gives their life to Christ, the Bible calls that being born again. And so, from a spiritual perspective, you are now a baby in Christ, you're an infant in Christ. And in the same way that God gave us a physical family to take care of a physical baby, He has also given a spiritual family to take care of spiritual babies. And the spiritual family that He has given is His church. And we're going to walk through this text to see how that works and what that church looks like. But I want to go ahead and give you the first point. Are you ready? I don't think we got fill in the blanks today, but first point, if you're taking notes, is this. Jesus designed Christians for church. And I'd argue church for Christians as well. Jesus designed Christians for church. There is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian who can do it all on their own. He has designed you and me as followers of Christ for the body of believers. Look there in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and follow along as I read. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And we'll stop right there for a moment because I think we get the point that we are designed for the body of Christ. He is using a metaphor of our physical body here. And the idea is everything that's part of our body is part of our body, but there are different parts of our body individually that make up the collective body. And we have here in many translations, when it talks about the different parts, it uses the word member. So the different parts of your body are members of the body, and we get our idea of church membership from the idea that we all, as followers of Christ, are individually members of a body. That's where we get the idea of church membership. Now, there is an idea of the universal church. The universal church is made up of all genuine believers of all ages of all times. If you are a genuine believer in Christ, you are a member of the universal body of Christ, the universal church. You do know that there will be people in heaven who are not Baptists. Genuine believers, though. There will not be anybody in heaven who has not placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're talking about the universal church. It is all of the genuine believers, regardless of denomination, genuine. And by the way, there are some Baptists that aren't going to make it into heaven. So, the universal church is the body of Christ. However, when we hear the description here, there is no way that the parts of the body of Christ have any practical reality apart from the physical, local expression of the universal body of Christ. And what is the physical, local expression of that? It's the local church. It's the local church. So while there is a universal church, and we do fit in that scenario, we fit into that if we're genuine believers, there is a local expression of that, which is the local church. And so each local church can be considered the body of Christ. And in this metaphor, you have one body, but many members or many parts. We all, if you've given your life to Christ, you are a member of the body of Christ. Now, the local expression, the local church viewed this way, you recognize that each part has a specific role to play. The eyes need to be eyes. The ears need to be ears. The feet need to be feet. The rear ends need to be... But each part has been given the necessary gifts and abilities to fulfill that role. Listen to what the Bible says. And we look there in 15 through 17 about the foot and the eye and the ear. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 through 15, where he talks about this in a different place. It says, equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up what? The body of Christ. Until we all reach unity in the faith. Well, how are we reaching unity in the faith? As the body is being built up. We are parts of the body, and as it's being built up, we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son. We grow into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. What he's saying here is an individual Christian's spiritual maturity hinges on their engagement in the body of Christ. Should I say that again? An individual believer's spiritual maturity hinges on their involvement in the body of Christ. If an individual believer is not engaged in the body of Christ, then all of these benefits of maturity and unity, etc., go away. If an individual believer says, I'm going to do it on my own, they will never develop the maturity they are designed to develop, and they end up being tossed to and fro like a child being tossed to and fro. Listen to what Hebrews says in chapter 10, verse 24. And let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The idea is that we are to receive encouragement from one another. Now, as we've come through COVID, many folks learned that they could watch it as a show on TV, and they could worship with us that way. And there are many who are shut in. There are many that cannot be here. They're sick or whatever, and we're glad that you're joining us today. However, if you're making a cognizant decision to choose this type of church, you are not choosing church. This says not neglecting to gather together. And if it's you and your TV screen, you're not gathering together. There is a point, there is a proper spot for you to be watching online, and I get that, but you ought to be moving towards engagement in the body of Christ, because it's in the body of Christ that you mature and you grow. Christians are designed for church. Now, I want to differentiate briefly before I move on from church membership and the world's membership. The world's membership I'm talking about is not a bad thing, okay? I'm not saying it's bad, it's different. And if you treat membership in the church like you treat membership in some other group, then you're going to be missing the boat. Think of it this way. I want to become a member of a country club. And while there may be things, country clubs have committees that you can serve on, etc., for the most part, as a member of the country club, I am going to show up to enjoy the benefits of the country club, but I am paying my membership so that somebody else can take care of all the stuff. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But if you treat First Baptist Church Lafayette like a country club, you are missing the boat biblically. This is not about me paying my dues and getting a benefit from something. This is about me being a member of the body of Christ. Totally different. Same word, different dictionary. So do not view this church as a country club where I pay my dues and then they get up there and they do everything for me and I don't have to do anything. No, no, no. You have a role to play, and we're going to talk about that as we continue down this road. Look in verse 18. Let me give you the second thing that you need to write down. Are you ready? Jesus picks your church. Jesus picks your church. Look in verse 18. But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. God is the one arranging the parts of the body. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, listen to this. And as you come to him, as you're saved, a living stone, he's rejected by people but chosen and honored by God, you yourselves as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Here's what he's saying. When you gave your life to Christ, you became a living stone, and he placed you in a part of the building that only you could fit. There's a specific spot, and Jesus is the one that determines what spot you fill. Listen, we do not join a church based on our decision, but based on his leadership. How do we choose a church? Well, we do church shopping. And we compare churches, and we go around, and we're looking for different things at the church. Some people say, well, do they have my preferred style of worship at that church? Do they have ministry for my family needs? Do they have a children's program and a preschool program and a youth program? Do they have a choir? I like a choir. Do they have a choir? Do they have an orchestra? You know, what do we base it off of that? Do they have a handsome and dynamic preacher who is also very humble at the same time? Hey, if y'all are looking for what I just said, I feel like we check off all the boxes, right? But we go into it asking the question, what does this church have for me? Does it fit my preferences? Does it fit my wants? Does it fit my desires? And so we go around looking for a church that does that. And many people, they end up, they don't choose the best church for them, the perfect church for them. Do you want to know why? Because there's no such thing as a perfect church. There's just not. And so what happens is we go to a church and we're asking the question, what does that church have for me? But if Jesus is picking your church, you don't ask the question, what does the church have for me? You ask the question, where does he want me to plug into church? And so here is the thing that you're looking at. If you want some guidance on how to choose a church home, you start with prayer and fellowship with Christ. You cannot know what Jesus wants for you without a proper relationship and fellowship with Jesus. If you're not spending time in prayer, if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not walking with him, you're never going to hear his voice and his direction in your life. So you start right there. But secondly, whatever church God's going to send you to is going to have theological alignment. They're going to have theological alignment. I'm not saying that you would have to go to a Baptist church, although I have found that Baptists have the best-looking women. Fellas, I'm trying to help you out here. I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but I will tell you this. If a church does not believe and proclaim, because what they proclaim is what they believe. If they do not believe that there is a God, that Jesus is the Son of God, that men are sinners separated from God, all men are sinners separated from God, that Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins, for the sins of the whole world, and anybody can be saved if they place their faith in Jesus Christ alone, that we're saved by grace through faith alone, in Jesus alone, and the Bible is true and inerrant, and you can trust it. If they don't believe that, frankly, I'd argue they're not a church. They're just pretending to be. God's not going to send a genuine believer in Christ to a church that doesn't preach the Bible and doesn't teach that salvation and teach that Jesus. So is it theologically aligned? Oh, well, the music is so good. What's the preacher preaching? What's the Bible study teaching? Does it align theologically? Oh, well, man, they're hip and all my friends go there. What do they believe? Are y'all tracking with me here? Another one is missional alignment. What does that mean? A church that is not on mission to reach people for Jesus Christ is not a church that is walking with Christ. Are they on mission? Do I have a place where I can fit in there? Not fit in like get along, but am I a hand and they're needing a hand? Am I a finger and they need a finger? Am I an ear and they need an ear? Is there a place for me to engage? Now, the question there is not what is this church going to do for me, but the question is where can I get plugged in? That's the question for someone who is genuinely seeking to be placed where Jesus wants them to be placed. Can you imagine a body that's got all the wrong parts? Remember that Johnny Cash song, One Piece at a Time? You remember that song? And he's putting together that car, and he's got 30 years worth of parts going on in the car, and it's just all, do you think Jesus puts the body of Christ together that way? No. He makes decisions to put the right people in the right place for the right purposes at the right time in the right church. And so as we are searching, is this where God wants us to be? Is this the church I'm to be called to? Is this where it's got to be something that the Lord leads us to do? For me, I serve where God calls me to serve. I am here because I have sensed and you affirmed that God called me and put me in this place, in this role. And the same way that God calls a preacher to lead a church is the same way that he calls an individual Christian to join a church. Now, how do we do that here at our church? How do we have a plan? Now, I've said this before, I'll say again. If you've ever been on a tour of a hot dog plant, you will never want to eat hot dogs again. They show you how the hot dogs are made. What I'm about to show you is kind of how the hot dogs are made at First Baptist Lafayette. We're going to walk through that because we realize that many in this room watching online, you're asking the question, is this where God wants me to be? And so we have some ministries designed to help you with that. I'm going to draw here. Now listen. I'm using spiritual ink up here. So if you can't see this, you might need to get saved. Can y'all see that okay? Some of y'all are nervous. All right. So we start here on this funnel, and we call this kind of our explore stage. This is where people are exploring God's call on their life, on how they want to engage, if they want to be a part of the church, if God wants them to be a part of the church. And so many of our first points where we first connect with people, they get into this funnel. So one may be Vacation Bible School. I'll put VBS right here, which, by the way, y'all saw VBS. We're signing up for that. We'll talk about that in a minute. Another one is our school, First Baptist Christian School. That's another one. Tomorrow, we've got the Senior Adult Revival. I hope that you're inviting people to that. That may be their first touch as a Senior Adult Revival. You've got a whole, I can fill this list out, all kind of stuff. One of the big ones is Sunday morning. You get invited to Sunday school. You get invited to worship. This is your first touch. We've found out that we've got over 3,000 people a week that are watching us on TV. And so that's a first touch for people, 3,000 people. We're going to start counting them as present, all right? The 3,000 there at the... So TV is a spot. And so what this does is this gives them an initial touch, an initial view. They are exploring where God wants them to be. However, we don't want people to live in the explore stage. We want them to use that to discern if that's where God wants them to be. But then we want them, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, we want them to connect. So if they realize, hey, this is where God wants me to be, then we do church membership. They join the church. And so we'll talk about that, joining the church. Now, we have a couple of trigger mechanisms. This is where the hot dog's being made. A couple of trigger mechanisms right here. One, we have visitation. So we will go to folks' homes and try to talk to them. How many of you have somebody from this church come knock on your door to talk to you? Let's see. Raise them high. I'm not going to do nothing. Look at this. All right. And y'all still came anyways. That's amazing. And then we have an Explore First class, which is going to be starting up before too long. And this is where we talk about our church. But the point is, we are exploring, is this where God wants me to be? And if he says, yep, this is it, then you need to join the church. If he has said, no, this is not it, what should you do? Find the church he wants you to be at. You say, preacher, I can't believe you're telling people to go to another church. Look, that ain't my job to determine where you go to church. That's Christ's job and your response to him. But I will tell you this, all Christians don't need to come to this church, but they do need to be in a church. And so I want to encourage you to find it. We can help you do that. All right, so Jesus picks your church. Second thing, or third thing I want to share with you is this. Jesus picks your part. He picks the part that you are. Verse 18 again. But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. He determines which part of the body you are. And he talks about if those parts want to be some other part, they want to be something else, they don't like what they are. Well, we have a responsibility to accept his direction and to say, yep, I'm going to do the best I can as that part. Now listen to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15 and 16 again. Here's what it says. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. And so every part has got to be in their spot, and God is the one, Jesus is the one, that picks which part you are. You say, well, I'd like to be a preacher. Well, that's great. Discern if that's what God has called you to be. I want to be a singer. That's great. Discern if that's what God wants you to be, and you discern the part that you are to play. One of the difficulties is we've got lots of body parts out there who have not connected properly to the body. Think about a hand that lives on the shoulder. Not here on the wrist, but it's connected on the shoulder. The hand is trying to be a head. Now, if you saw somebody whose hand was on their shoulder like this, what do you think you would do? You would stare at them with your mouth gaped open, and you would be very, very uncomfortable. Because it's just not the way that is. Many of our churches, because our body parts have not connected properly, are out of spot. And if they're out of spot, they can't do what they're supposed to do. How do we connect to the rest of the body of Christ at our church? Anybody have any idea? How do we connect? No one knows. So I heard it. Sunday school. This is how you connect to the body of Christ. You plug into Sunday school. Well, how is it Sunday school? Why is it not big church in here? By the way, I call it big church. Did y'all know that? Sunday school and big church. Now, How does this work? Well, let me give you the benefits of Sunday school. Are you ready? It's age graded, so that the people in your Sunday school class and department are in a similar life stage that you are. And if you look around your Sunday school class and everybody in there looks older than you, deal with it, all right? Secondly, biblical instruction. Smaller groups allows for a deeper dive and dialogue. You can't really dialogue with me, get a deeper dive, but you could do that in Sunday school. Practical ministry. I cannot know all the needs in this church, but the Sunday school class can know all the needs in its class. I cannot mobilize everybody in the church to meet those needs, but the Sunday school class can do that. This is the way that a large church is become small, is through Sunday school. Fellowship and relationship building. I can't know everybody in here. You can't know everybody in here. But do you know who you can know really well? Those in your Sunday school class. We are unashamedly a Sunday school church. In fact, I say it and believe it. If you only have 1 hour a week to give to church, give it to Sunday school. That's how important it is. You do not have to be a church member to be enrolled in Sunday school. You do not have to be saved to enroll in Sunday school. You do not have to be a tither to be enrolled in Sunday school. All you have to be enrolled in Sunday school is breathing. Are you breathing today? Then you can be in Sunday school. But what this does for a Christian is it gives you an opportunity to serve. The Sunday school is the church organized for the Great Commission. It's the church body working. That's what Sunday school is. And I would encourage you, you plug in, you connect to Sunday school. Time is running short, but let me give you the last bit. The fourth thing is this. Jesus picks your ministry. He picks your ministry. Go to verse 27. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it." He's repeating himself. "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, miracles, gifts, healing, helping, leading various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all do miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret?" I'm not going to go into all those details, but here's what I want you to notice back in verse 28. "And God has appointed these." God appointed, chose, organized, set. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 echoes this. "Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he," verse 11, "and he himself gave some to be apostles." That word could be appoint there as well. I argue should be. "Some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to do all the work for the church." No. "To equip and to set up the difference, the saints, the different members of the body to do work. For the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ." Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. "Now as we have many parts in one body and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, the assignment given to us, we have different gifts, different abilities." And then he lists those abilities. And so what you have here is that he has given you not just a part, a place to fit, but a function and something to do. Have you ever been sitting too long on your leg or on your foot and you go to stand up and your foot is asleep? I'm sure y'all have done that, right? And you try to walk on your foot. And as you're walking on that totally deadened, asleep foot, you think to yourself, "I know that my foot is there because I am walking, but I don't really know if it's actually there." You can't feel it. And then the worst part is when the blood starts coming back in and you get the tingling and it's painful after that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It is hard to function when parts of your body are asleep. Too many churches are trying to operate with a bunch of their body parts asleep. They're not functioning as they should. They're not doing as they should. And here's what happens in our church. You ready? It takes literally hundreds of jobs to pull off Sunday morning. When you think about choir members, orchestra members, you think about those, there's a whole group of people up in a room that's doing the cameras and the video and all of that. You think about all of the nursery workers and preschool workers and guest services people and decision counselors we're going to need. You think about all the Sunday school teachers, and each class should have two or three members that are leading in that. Look at the secretaries. I mean, when you load it up and you look at all of the volunteer positions just on Sunday morning, we're not talking about Wednesday night with RAs and GAs and all of that jazz. We're just talking about Sunday morning. It is literally hundreds of positions that are being filled every single Sunday. And if we have body parts that aren't doing anything, that means that there are other parts that are doing too much. Can I get a witness from somebody doing too much? And so what happens is they get overloaded and they get burnt out, and then they got to say, I got to back off, and they resign and they quit. And now the other body parts have to take up their slack because they got burnt out. And the reason they got burnt out is because we got a bunch of dead body parts not doing anything. So how does this work? Well, a couple things. One, we've got connect. We're going to explore, connect, and then we're going to grow. And what that means is we're going to discern God's call on us and how we are to serve. And then we are going to serve. And when we serve, it's here at the end, it's outward like this. This is missions. But then it's also inward back here. This we would call ministry. As we get more people serving, guess what happens to the capacity of the funnel? Guess what happens to the capacity of our Sunday school organization as we have more teachers willing to teach? It begins to grow. Guess what happens to our service corps once those begin to grow? It begins to grow. And as those reinvest, it grows more and more and more. And it's just a circle and a cycle of growth. Do you know what stops this? When members begin to gum up somewhere. When you get a Sunday school class that is unwilling to start a new Sunday school class. We like our fellowship. It's good. We like our teacher. I'd hate to leave my teacher. I've got a nice seat in this room. It's comfortable in here. And when a Sunday school class says we're unwilling to reach new, what they're saying is we don't want to give anybody else an opportunity to teach. We don't want to give anybody else an opportunity to do outreach. We don't want to give anybody else an opportunity to do anything else. We don't want to make room for anybody else to come into the Sunday school class. We are happy right where we are. And what happens is you gum this up, and when you gum this up, nobody makes it to serve. And when nobody makes it to serve, nobody reinvests, and we keep the church small. I know I'm picking on Sunday school. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I could pick on a lot of other things, all right? But when we gum that up and say, I'm comfortable, I'm happy right where I am, we end up gumming up the entire process. We need everybody flowing through this. Many people will approach church like they would a cruise ship. How many of you have been on a cruise ship? Raise your hand. We like cruising, don't we? I've been one time. The reason I've only been once is because it's expensive. Kim and I went with some friends, and it was to celebrate my graduation from the doctoral program. We went a couple of years ago. We were without cell phones, we were without computers, and we were without children. I really don't know what else you want. They had a 24-hour ice cream machine. Just saying. But on a cruise ship, you pay your money and you get on that ship. And on a certain level up are all the paying passengers, but on a certain level down is a bunch of people that live there and they're working. And it doesn't shut down. They work all day. Those people are working hard. For them, it is not an enjoyable trip. For them, it is work. Maybe they get some benefits here, there, or yonder, but it is work. And many a Christian will treat this church and others like a cruise ship. I'm going to show up, and I may pay something. I'm going to show up, and I'm going to enjoy the benefits of what everybody else is doing. But I'm not going to do any of it. I'm going to find me a comfortable seat. I'm going to find me a comfortable spot. And as long as it's entertaining and I'm enjoying it and they don't push me too hard and I'm not asked to do anything, as long as I'm able to just relax and enjoy, then I'm good with that church. But the minute that they start challenging me, I'm going to jump off of that cruise ship and I'm going to find me another cruise ship where I can just sit back and relax and hang out. That is no way to live the Christian life. In fact, that's an unbiblical way to live the Christian life, because when the Bible talks about the church, it is less a cruise ship and it is more a battleship. Now, when you're on a battleship, there is a purpose. You are going to war. Every single person on the battleship has a job. Now, they're going to get fed. They got a place to sleep. I'm sure there's some relaxing times on a battleship, but every single person on there has a job. Maybe it's a captain driving the ship. I don't know. Maybe it's somebody loading a gun. Maybe it's somebody pulling a trigger. Maybe it's somebody mopping the floor and cleaning out toilets. It doesn't matter, but everybody on a battleship has a job, and if they don't do their job, the battleship cannot do its job. We are a battleship, not a cruise ship. You say, why are you getting so angry about it? Because many Christians today are not growing spiritually because they are not committing to the next step in the process of maturity. They are gumming up because of some issue, whatever, and they're not processing through, and it's hurting the kingdom of God. We have vacation Bible school signups happening out in the hallway. And I know we're in the 9:30 crowd. We're in the legacy service. The style of music is, and it's by design what we want, but it's for folks who are a little bit more mature in different ways, all right? Multiple ways of life. And there are some that may have gotten to some of those mature ages who have said, well, I don't have a kid in preschool, I don't have a kid in children, I don't have a kid in youth, I can't really sing very well, I can't play an instrument, I don't really like to teach, so I'm just going to retire from serving. I've done my due. Last year, my wife, I was telling her about this, and she's better at application than I am. I don't know if y'all knew that or not, but she is. So I run my sermon by her sometimes, she says, well, here's what you ought to say. She says that a lot. But anyways, so she taught fifth grade girls last year in vacation Bible school. And she had a group of ladies. I'm going to leave it at this. They are 9:30 ladies. They don't have children in fifth grade. May not even have grandchildren in fifth grade. But there was a group of ladies that were 9:30 ladies that said, we want to help, we want to come to fifth grade, and we want to serve. And for 5 days, 3 hours a day, 15 hours out of their entire year, mind you, they came up there, they gave their all, and they ministered to those children. Kids were needing, had questions. And my wife says that those ladies would get down on the floor with them on their level and would explain God's word to their softened hearts. Children who did not know Jesus, who did not come to church, whose parents were only bringing them there for babies, free babysitting in the summer, and there they were making a difference in the life of those children. I'm glad that that group of ladies did not view themselves as retired from church work. Because the reality is this, you are going to face God one day, and He is going to ask you, what did you do with what I called you to do? Did you serve as the body part you should have served, or did you not? With all of these steps, there is a response you have to make. For instance, He has picked your church, but you have to respond by joining that church. He has placed you in a body, but you have to respond by connecting to the right spot in Sunday school, I would say. He has given you a ministry, but you have to accept that call and engage in that ministry. You have a responsibility.